left. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's going on, people? I appreciate everyone out there joining me. Another edition of Morton's Law Podcast here on this November 7th, 2021. Coming to you here on this Sunday afternoon, watching the NFL. We're going to get into that, pro wrestling, and a lot more. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter, Morton's_Law, and Morton's Law Podcast. And on Instagram and Morton's Law Podcast on YouTube. This is incredible, though. I'm watching some of the games as I broadcast right here. And I'll get into it later, but Kyler Murray and Hopkins are not playing. And Colt McCoy is having the game of his career. This is incredible. In San Francisco. Niners, bad luck. But we'll talk about that later. So the news of the week, this is funny to me. This is funny on so many levels. So for those who are not aware, Pete Davidson, SNL cast member and stand-up comedian, from Staten Island, New York, by the way. He hates Staten Island as much as I do, or at least he says that. He talks about it in his act, how much he hates it, as do I occasionally. The funny thing is, Kim Kardashian recently hosted SNL, and apparently the two became quite chummy. Chummy? How chummy, you ask? Well, they've been spotted together in multiple locations. And the funny part is they were holding hands and people started to speculate. Because, of course, she's now divorced from Kanye West. Smartest move of her life, I guess. Some people would say that. But the two of them, or at least people have speculated that they're just friends. So there's nothing going on there, which, of course, everyone's going to go, bullshit, because it just looks like they're... Now, he's 27, she's 41. Age doesn't matter, but just throwing that number out there. Now, after I read that story, then out of nowhere, I get hit with the following story the other day. I'm just scrolling through my Google News, and I guess as you search stuff, Google just pops up stories in which you search in that department. And there it is. Pete Davidson on Staten Island at a restaurant with, you guessed it, Kim Kardashian. And I went, what the fuck? First of all, the fact that she would lower herself to even step foot on this godforsaken borough. I mean, I'm blown away. I'm blown away. Then I found out in a story the day after that it wasn't too far from where I live. Here on Staten Island, and they were at more of a pizza restaurant. It serves multiple dishes, but more pizza-oriented location, and they were on the rooftop. And apparently, nobody really recognized them. I guess they were incognito, if you will. But that's just hilarious to me that happened here, that she would come here of all places. I mean... Yeah, speaking of which, you wouldn't catch me dead on Staten Island. I mean, maybe one day, but aside from the supermarket, the gym, and the laundromat, I don't go anywhere here. I go from here to work in Manhattan, back home, or to those three places I just mentioned. Yeah, to me, Staten Island is the worst. More so the people than the island. But, I mean... It's amazing. These people, there was another news story over this past week, and you would think, I've said this on multiple occasions about Staten Island, you would think it was Macon, Georgia, because you had these, I don't even know what you want to call them, these Americans, white Americans, with the flags, talking about overthrowing the government regarding this vaccine mandate, and talking about freedom, which, by the way, I've learned we have way too much of, and we abuse our freedom, especially these people, especially if you've never served for this country and don't understand what it means to fight for freedom. And a lot of these people don't. They just think they deserve it. It's, again, white privilege and entitlement that a lot of people have in this country. And it's sickening. But yeah, they really would overthrow the government. I mean, they tried. They've already tried the insurrection. I'm sure a lot of those people were from Staten Island. I would not be shocked if a good portion of them. And I mean, look, the government would be loaded with, if that were to happen ever, it would be basically just white trash and paisans. That's what it would be. All right. It would be like that. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, we run the government now. Hey, you talk to Vito, all right? Talk to Vito, Vinny. Hey, where's my gabagoo, eh? But yeah, I mean, that's what Staten Island is. It's pretty sad. But back to Kim Kardashian and this whole Pete Davidson thing. Now, for those who don't know and don't care, most of you don't care, Pete Davidson is known for what is his acronym of BDE, a.k.a. Big Dick Energy. You can't make it up. I'm not kidding. And the funny part is when he was dating Ariana Grande, that became a big, no pun intended, story on why they were dating. And since then, of course, he's had some, I forget who he was dating last, but, and now with this Kim Kardashian thing. But it does make sense for her, considering she's dated and married mostly black men. Although Chris Humphrey somehow got in there because he was more light-skinned, if you will. But I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just about the BDE in her life. She needs that. Never heard about Kanye, but whatever. So, yeah, that's fun. But moving along, I talked about the election last week. And Eric Adams won. No real surprise. I had my opinions on Sliwa in terms of the crime in the city, but Adams won, and let's support him. Let's see what he does. I want to hope and believe he will not be a de Blasio clone, which is what people have said, which is what Sliwa fears. And I know I had read some article regarding Adams wanting to have civilians being able to arrest people. I think I had seen that. Don't quote me on that, but it was something along those lines, that to have citizens arrest, I guess, if you will. And that's just, yeah, that's going to fly, right? Especially with the mentally insane and gang members. Sure, yeah, sure, arrest me. No problem. Here. Where do you want me to put my hands? Right. Oh, man. And then, I'll tell you, I tell this to a buddy of mine who listens to the show. He always sends me news on Cuomo and occasionally on de Blasio as well. And the thing is, when you think about both of them, and I talk about the circus all the time. When is the circus coming to town? People say, when is the circus going to be here? Ringling Brothers no longer around, but the Big Apple Circus pops in and out. And I always tell people, you know what? In New York, the circus never leaves, okay? It's always here, and it's in our government, all right? It's a joke. Now de Blasio is saying he's going to run for governor. I'm moving if that happens, because yes, he can affect this state more than you think, as he did with this city and the damage that he's done in 8 years. I am moving. People talked about, like, during this past election, the presidential election, people were prepared to move to Canada or other locations if Trump won again. I'm not kidding when I say I will be moving to New Jersey or Connecticut if de Blasio becomes governor of this state. Because who knows what could happen? That would be a disgrace. But he would get voted in. He really would. He would win. I do not see how he would not win. Oh my goodness. Disgusting. Moving along in other news. I've given him time. Listen. I've given him time. We are now in November. When he first took office in January, he talked about a lot of the student loans, some of which he has canceled, loans that didn't pertain to me, actual federal government loans, as opposed to other loans that most people don't care about. He's canceled those. He said he would cancel at least $10,000. Now, Elizabeth Warren and other Democrats have urged him to cancel $50,000. And as of now, he's done none of that. And I am fair. I talk about this, Democrat, Republican, whatever. If you don't do what you say you're going to do, I'm going to blast you. So, Mr. Biden, you have now, what, 7 weeks to get this done? Because, I mean, this is bad. If January 1st comes around and he still hasn't canceled these loans. And remember, technically he has until January 31st of next year, which is when everyone's going to have to start repaying their student loans, in which a lot of people are hoping. Listen, I'm not greedy. I'll take the 10 grand. I don't need the 50. I owe about 20-ish. So knock half off. I'll be extremely grateful for that. But this has to happen before this January 31st day in which we have to start repaying our loans. Now, if I weren't a degenerate gambler, I could have paid that 20 grand by now, but that's another story. So more news in my life. You know, talk about my life. People always ask how I'm doing, and I've really thought about this recently. It's basically like I go to the menu at a restaurant. I go to a restaurant and see a menu, and I order a steak. And for whatever reason, they continually bring me a shit sandwich. And over time, every time you eat that shit sandwich, you start to get used to it. And then you're like, okay, well, here comes another shit sandwich. Serve it right up. That is my life. I am at that point now where it's like, I know I'm not getting that steak. So it is what it is. But, and this is even a bigger point in the stuff I deal with is that I didn't mention this last week, by the way, in terms of the 3 months I was off. One of the other biggest issues during this time frame has been this. I had a root canal back in July, and I needed a crown. Now, I have Medicaid insurance because I was unemployed during the pandemic for the most part. So, and by the way, if you don't have Medicaid, sometimes it's better to be broke because you don't pay any co-pays, no deductibles. So, yes, and I mean that's another conversation about healthcare in this country, but it is a benefit. And for the most part, during the pandemic, I had two surgeries, one on my shoulder, one on my knee. I talked about that. Everything covered. Therapy, you name it, they covered it. Insurance, no issues. For whatever reason, and I have no idea why, they denied my crown. And I went, why? You guys have been so great to me. How could you do this to me? And for those who don't know, a crown runs around $1,200 to $1,400. Not cheap. So my dentist, kind enough to appeal, we put the appeal in, 3 days later, denied. So now you go to what is called a fair hearing, where then you would meet in front of a judge, pandemic, you can talk to them over the phone, and then your insurance company presents their case and why they feel you don't need a crown, to which they basically said their dentist determined that the crown, that my tooth in its location did not require a crown based on where you, how you chew. It's absurd. My dentist said the same. She said, it doesn't make any sense, but they do this all the time, according to her. They deny, and then eventually you go to these fair hearings, and then you win. And so I go to the first fair hearing. I'm home waiting for a phone call. That's what they tell you. They're going to call you. They didn't call me. 4 hours I waited by this phone. Now, I wasn't doing anything, so I'm not going to say it ruined my day. I'm not going to lie to you. But not even a courtesy call. Not even a, we haven't called, this is the reason, nothing. I called the next morning, I found out that the judge had to adjourn the hearing because the insurance did not provide enough documentation regarding the case. So that's what the judge does. And when I heard that, I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean? Because you would think if you don't go to court, and this is court, albeit telephone, and you don't provide your information, well, then the other person wins. It's case dismissed. Boom, I win, right? No, it doesn't work that way. It's a joke. And look, the health insurance, I won't name them. They are very clever in how they went about this. In my opinion, I think they did this on purpose. I don't think there's any doubt. So then you have to wait another 6 weeks, and which is what happened. So I went from August 25th was the first date. And then October 6th, I had a second one scheduled. And the second one, which was scheduled, is on a day I'm at orientation at the post office. So I'm there in that location. I'm eating a lunch. And by the way, one of the greatest grilled chicken sandwiches I've ever had in my life at this post office location in Brooklyn. It was amazing. But of course, it was ruined by the phone call from the courts. They called me an hour earlier than they were supposed to. So I'm miserable. I'm like, I want to eat the sandwich. What do you do? So she's explaining to me what happened. So she goes, okay, so the insurance, once again, did not provide any documentation. And I can't, okay, great, I win, right? No, because you didn't provide any documentation. What do you mean I didn't provide any documentation? I had a dentist send over a narrative stating why I need this crown. I also wrote something down stating I grind my teeth in my sleep. That's why I wear a mouth guard. That's why the tooth got fractured, because I grind through the mouth guard. This is pretty simple. And she's explaining, I need to do this, I need to do that, which none of it was clear. I could barely understand this judge. And it was frustrating. And then she says, okay, so you whatever you need to provide, which to this day I don't understand. I'm explaining more in a second. If you provide that, and if there's the next case, if they do not provide anything again, then you win. So I guess three times is a charm in this way. I don't know. So here's what happened. So now I'm trying to find out what I need to send. I call this court office number again, and nobody knows anything. That's the thing. No matter who you call, whether it's customer service for your insurance company, whether it's customer service for you name it, you get no help. Very few people in customer service can help you. And this is a court office, so you would think the person answering the phone would be able to tell me what I need to provide. Nothing. So now I'm like, okay, I got to call a lawyer. So I get a pro bono lawyer on the phone. Actually, I got to call again next week because the case, my third, by the way, appearance or hearing is next Friday. This coming Friday, rather, the 12th. So this is an absolute nightmare. This whole process has been painful to deal with because my tooth still hurts. Still hurts whenever I have to now chew on the left side of my mouth. Because even though the dentist, in theory, got rid of the what did she do? Killed the nerves in the tooth with the root canal. You still have other nerves in that vicinity that can still cause pain. I can't understand that either, but that's the case. And then the best part is, even if you have the crown put on, your tooth can still fracture further and you can lose it. So while this is a good thing that I could get the crown, it doesn't guarantee anything going forward. But I want the crown, of course, to prevent that. Or at least hope that it doesn't happen. So yeah, this is brutal. Brutal. How you just dealing with this crap. So now I'm hoping that the lawyer can at least tell me what I need to send. And then I can email documentation. And then hopefully Friday we get this determined. And I'll have better news for you on Sunday. I really hope I'm being scheduled for this appointment soon. Oh, by the way, which I called for a cleaning at the same dentist office, and now they're saying my health insurance is an issue where they don't accept it anymore. So now I got to find a new dentist on top of it. It's like, can I win ever? Can I win one time? One time. I would like to win. And not just fantasy sports. That's another topic. I've been having these conversations with people who don't quite get what I mean when I say I'm very serious about the fact that I take fantasy sports more seriously than life because I failed at that part, but I'm more successful at fantasy sports. So I actually, it's like an alternate universe for me. It's like, and I take it that seriously. So when I win, that is considered a life win, not just fantasy. That's all I have left. That is it for me. But yeah, so that's fun. And then last but not least, listen to this crap. This actually happened. So I'm here, I don't know which night, and I get a phone call from my landlord. And I've told you guys about my situation here, living here 5 years, not being able to move during the pandemic because of circumstances involving my unemployment, and still being stuck with these gnats on a daily basis, not going anywhere. But I've dealt with it. It's a horrible situation every day that doesn't end, but I deal with this. So she calls me up randomly and she says, hey, do you use flushable wipes? And I'm like, oh no, this can't be good. Immediately I know this is not good. So I try to play it off in a friendly way. Oh yeah, all the time, of course. She's like, my husband told me that the pipes, there's something wrong with the pipes, and it's caused from your wipes. And I'm like, what? What do you mean it's caused from my wipes? Who doesn't use, first of all, it's amazing to me that anyone doesn't use flushable wipes. Because if you just wipe back there with toilet paper, the job isn't done, okay? The job is not done. If you leave 5 minutes later, you start feeling that that icky feeling. So you need to wet wipe it, okay? First of all, I've talked about this in the past. You really should shower after you shit, because you're never the same. Even the wet wipe, the dry, you name it, it doesn't do the job. But the wet is a necessity after the dry. And then you need to dry again after the wet. It's a must. It has to go in that way, okay? Anyone who doesn't get this, you're just walking around with a cranky ass all day, okay? Your ass is cranky, you got skid marks, you don't even bother looking anymore. You just deal with it. Not me, I don't need that. But so she says, "Can you please put your wet wipes in the toilet? I mean, excuse me, in a basket and throw it in the garbage instead?" I'm like, "Wait, but that's going to create an odor." Oh, she says, "Well, I do it with a garbage pail and a lid on the top. You don't have to smell it." I have one of those cheap dollar store baskets in the bathroom, and I just throw napkins in. And I'm just like, what? So I have to get a plastic bag or a cover to prevent that from smelling. Because, of course, if you wet wipe, that's going to create an odor also. But it's just like, what? Are you kidding me? Can you update your plumbing system? What year is this? As it is, I have water coming up in the shower where when I take a shower, water is past my feet, almost to my ankle, because of the drainage and how poor it is. I mean, it's just amazing how cheap people are. Although my rent is cheap, so I can't complain that much. But yeah, it's just it's just brutal. I thought she was gonna like call. Imagine if she would call. "Hey, do you use wet wipes?" "Yeah, I do." "What brand do you use?" Well, have you used the Nice and Clean? How about the Scott? What do you think about the Scott? You know what? No, I'll be honest with you. You must try. You must. The Stop and Shop generic brand, the best wet wipe on the planet. That's what, imagine that conversation. The best wet wipe. There's nothing better. It's just like, what? Oh, man. Well, Morton's Law Podcast. We're going to talk sports, next block, then wrestling. Thanks for joining me. Coming back after this. Tune in every Monday night at 10 p.m. for the Absolute Truth Show on Blog Talk Radio. Join the Hot Rod, Sean Black, and Lady T as they give you the truth on current events, politics, and everything in between. That's Monday nights at 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/theabsolutetruth100, where they tell it like it is. Welcome back to Morton's Law Podcast. Hope everybody's doing good out there. Having a nice weekend, which is wrapping up now on this Sunday evening. Daylight savings time, which some people still don't comprehend. It's like, what? How old are you? You still don't get it? It's like, it's a really good thing that people have clocks now that actually go back that hour last night. Because somebody I knew in a group text was like, "Oh no, I forgot to set my..." Well, no, look at your cell phone. Your cell phone actually has the right time. I had to go do the stove clock, and that's it. For the most part, everything does itself these days. But some people, it's like, yes, it's fall back, spring forward, people. It's not hard. People argue we don't need it anymore or shouldn't happen in the case, but for the farmers or whatever, but you should know how it goes. All right, so let's get into sports. College football playoffs, initial reveal. Number one, Georgia, no surprise. Number two, Alabama. Listen, their loss at Texas A&M now looking like a better loss, especially with A&M winning this past weekend, now possibly going into the top 10 with all of the shakeup yesterday. Well, not so much a shakeup, but just some losses here and there. But I don't know if you can argue Alabama too, fine. I mean, and then number three, Oklahoma. Number four, Oregon, right? No, I got it wrong. Excuse me, Ohio State's three. Oklahoma got left out. And I had talked about last week Cincinnati. And where would Cincinnati fall in? Talked about their win at Notre Dame, their other non-conference win at Indiana, which now doesn't look so good. And Indiana was better last year than they are this year. And look, you play in a non-Power 5 conference. You have a win over Notre Dame, which the committee doesn't even care about because we've seen what Notre Dame has done in the postseason. Continually getting destroyed, although more competitive in the last one. But the bottom line is, you don't play anybody. And Cincinnati came in at number six. And it's hard to argue. Of course, their fans are irate. Of course, they made it known at College Game Day Saturday morning how irate they were. But hey, go to a Power 5 conference. If you're that good at recruiting, go. Let's see how good you can do. And so look, Oregon, who came in at 4, had a bit of a first half scare at Washington, but then they rebounded. Look, you can argue because, listen, Oregon has a better win because they won at Ohio State. So Oregon is legit. And I don't know what their schedule really looks. I know they have a bad loss at Stanford. That really is not a good loss. We talk about losses. And, you know what? I got it wrong. Excuse me. I just remembered. Michigan State is number 3. Michigan State, who had the biggest upset loss of the day yesterday, because I didn't think they were that good. Michigan State, to me, was overrated because all they did was beat a Michigan team and nobody else for the most part. Okay, Michigan, we know, is overrated every year. Talk about that. Not so much on Harbaugh. They recruit well. I don't know. People are going to blame Harbaugh, whatever. Michigan State went into Purdue. And earlier this year, Iowa, who was unbeaten at the time, went into Purdue and got destroyed. Oh, wait, no, I think Purdue actually won at Iowa. Pardon me on that. But the bottom line is, did he score again? Oh, it was Gainwell. Okay, sorry, I'm watching this Eagles game here. Actually watching Red Zone. So I was okay with the ranking. Cincinnati, listen, the only way, and I talked about this last week, so I'm not going to repeat myself. Cincinnati needs a lot of losses, okay? A lot of losses or a few plane crashes, and then they could get in. And Oklahoma, who's unbeaten, by the way, talk about lack of respect. Oklahoma plays in a Power 5 and still was not in the top 4. Unbeaten, Power 5. But when you look at their schedule, their conference is extremely down, and they've struggled to beat subpar teams. And now Oklahoma is going to go on the road and play at Baylor next Saturday night, which a game they could likely be upset. And it may not even matter for Oklahoma the way they are positioned now, because aside from Baylor, who Baylor lost, by the way, that hurts Oklahoma's chances even more so, because if Baylor had won, it would have been a top 10 game. Baylor at 10, Oklahoma at 5 or 6 or whatever they are. But not the case anymore. Baylor's going to fall in out of the top 15 with their bad loss. So now Oklahoma's, who do they have left on the schedule, is going to help them get into that top 4, even if they go unbeaten and win their conference championship. It may not matter, which some people are going to cry about. Oh, well, we need to expand the 5, the 6. I've heard 8, 16. Why don't we, let's just go NCAA tournament. Let's just put 64 in there for college football. Why not? Let's play an 8-week tournament. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, you know. But, yeah, I'm not crying for Cincinnati. Look, Alabama had a scare yesterday. They really looked mediocre against LSU. I mean, LSU has the players, though. When you talk about the players in this country, teams that can put players on the field who can play with Alabama, it's Ohio State. It's Clemson. It's LSU. Sometimes it's Auburn. But it has to come in the SEC. It's very few teams or schools outside of the SEC that can play with Alabama just because of recruiting. That's what it all comes back to. Do you have those 4 or 5-star horses? Now, again, some teams can overachieve with your 3 stars or your lower level 4 stars. That happens. Look at Cincinnati. I'm sure they don't have any 4 or 5 stars. I mean, they have lower level 4 stars probably. But again, aside from Notre Dame, they didn't beat anybody. So, yeah, I mean, Alabama, they won an ugly one. That was an old school SEC game in terms of just lack of offense. Lack of offense, good defense. Yeah, look, people can argue whether it was bad offense or good defense. It was a little bit of both last night. I mean, LSU's quarterback, not very good. Brad Johnson Jr., I forget his first name. But he's the son of former Super Bowl quarterback Brad Johnson. Very mediocre aside from a couple of drives. And Alabama just looks out of sync. Both teams really hurting on both sides in terms of injury. LSU's not at full strength, and they lost a lot of guys to the draft, as does every SEC school. You just look around the country in the NFL and see how many teams have SEC players. But, yeah, so, I mean, look, Alabama's going to get – I think Alabama could actually lose at Auburn. I think they can lose at Auburn because Auburn's going to be jacked for that game. And the way I see the Alabama offense right now, it hasn't looked this bad in years. You're going all the way back to the beginning of the dynasty when they had subpar quarterback play. Right now, I just see some weaknesses, a lot of weaknesses. And they lost one of their key running backs too, so they can't run the ball like they did. I mean, Brian Robinson is okay, but he's not what they've had. Moving along, Atlanta Braves win the World Series. Does anybody care? I mean, I feel bad for the Braves fans of the 90s. Because, I mean, whether you're alive or dead, you just don't care about sports anymore. As you get older, people care less. But, I mean, to have to wait 20-plus years after they won their last one. And when you think about their 90s run, and they could have won more than just that one. But, yeah, ratings were not great. They did rebound, I guess, for Game 6 because Houston did force that Game 6 to go back to it, to go back to Houston. And the Braves won. That was a surprise of them closing it out in Houston in Game 6, not even getting to a Game 7. Good for them. Freddie Freeman, what happens to him now? We've talked about that. I mean, if you're the Mets, blank check. Right? What do you do with Alonso? Alonso's overrated. Get rid of him. Trade him. Get something back. Freddie Freeman at first base. Mets need it. Steve Cohen needs it. Make it happen. All right. So let's get to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. King of all assholes and morons, recently spoke out. In an interview, for those who don't know, if you're under a rock, Aaron Rodgers is not playing this afternoon in Kansas City because of his COVID test that failed. For those who don't know, he is not vaccinated. He claims he's not vaccinated because of allergies, of which he's not said why or what he's allergic to, why he can't get the vaccine. He was on the Pat McAfee show. He talked about how he's not some idiot flat earther. He does think about things. He does research. And all this other stuff, but he still came out and looked like a bit of a idiot, especially quoting the late great Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So I have a couple clips from one of the interview that he did do. So here's a couple of the clips. He was asked about the CDC and the left.
Those guys are back.
Oh my God, Aaron Rodgers, that's just horrible. That will get you canceled. That's another thing. He talked about getting canceled. That right there will get you canceled. I can't believe he would say such a thing. Just awful. In the next clip, he talks about the country and the history of the country.
What Jefferson was saying was, hey, you know, we left this England place because it was bogus. So if we don't get some cool rules ourselves, pronto, we'll just be bogus too. Yeah?
That did. I don't know what he said. That didn't make any sense. I know he mentioned what is going on, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. And finally, Rodgers asked about missing Sunday's game and his future with the NFL.
Need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Well, he is from California. That makes sense. I mean, hey, this is what he needs. He needs it. That's part of his life. Oh, well. Oh, man. Yeah, but yeah, I'll say this ad nauseum. Too much freedom in this country. I hate to repeat myself, but you go to the doctor. They tell you to do something. You do it. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a political movement. No, we're not going to do it. No, it's my body. It's my choice. What? Go for a flu shot, right? Well, this is just a little bit more important than the flu shot, as we've learned. 760,000 and counting dead in this country. But no, we can survive. We can survive. Okay, yeah, because Rogers talked about him and his buddy Joe Rogan. Another, oh my goodness, meathead. Meatheads attacking. Henry Ruggs. What were you thinking, you idiot? Oh, Alabama, too. It puts a black eye on the school. Just poor decision making. Feel horrible for the people and the dog and everything. It's just sad. And I don't think he's ever going to play again. I mean, he should go to prison. I mean, I'm sure he's never done anything like this before, but he's, I don't know how he's going to get out of this. This is not good. I mean, just what are these players doing? Just get an Uber, have a driver. 156 miles an hour he was going? 156 miles an hour. Inebriated. Why? What do you? You just threw your life away, and you killed someone in the process, and a dog. Oh my goodness. Odell Beckham Jr. released from the Browns. They turned around, by the way, and smashed the Bengals today. They were like, "Yeah, we really need you, buddy." They just went out there with their defense, with Nick Chubb, had a 170, I think, and a touchdown. And they just put it on the Bengals. By the way, the Bengals may have ended their season in MetLife last week, because I could not believe it. And I was one of the guilty parties talking about the Bengals and them not being the old school Bungles. Then they lay an egg in New York. They come back at home, lay another egg. No one saw that happening. And yes, look, Baker Mayfield did enough. That it's all about the running game. Once they get Hunt back, they're going to be more dangerous on the ground. So Odell Beckham Jr., listen, he's been rumored to go other places, but look, whatever, I'm not gonna get into what the father said, but the bottom line is, you can tell, and a lot of his former teammates know he's a malcontent, and he's a diva, and he's just like another wide receiver of which we've dealt with in the past, the Ocho Cincos. I mean, you know, there's a laundry list of wide receivers who have had this mentality, and he wasn't missed today. I mean, you can argue about the Giants missing him or not, although they won today. I mean, just long term. But, yeah, he's not a guy you want to have on your team. Although, someone will give him another chance, as everyone has had another chance. But, moving along. Oh, yeah, go, Connor, go, no flags, touchdown. Oh, baby, I picked up James Connor. And I believe he just scored his third. I'm waiting for a flag, because there's always a flag in the NFL. Oh, no flags. Connor just scored his third touchdown of the game. He's in my flex position in one league in which I'm in first place. So that was huge. It was huge. It was so huge. By the way, do you think Trump, when he does that with the hand motion back and forth, do you think he was forced at gunpoint to play the accordion as a child? And now it's like PTSD. It's embedded in his brain. It was huge, huge. But yeah, so yeah, that's good for me. Derrick Henry done for the year. That is a tough loss. I mean, Henry's been a workhorse all the way going back to Alabama. I remember Henry in the SEC championship game carrying the ball 35 times. Maybe even carried it 40 once. I mean, the man is so durable. It's such a freak accident too. And I mean, it's so easy to say, or not easy, but you want to believe he'll be back next year and back to normal. But you just never know with these injuries. Not everybody recovers the same. And then oftentimes you turn into a fighter where you have a glass jaw. Of course, now you have a glass leg. Who knows when it could go out again. But, oh, that's a brutal. Because the Titans have something there. Of course, Tannehill is starting to... A.J. Brown just came back. Julio Jones is there. And now their season's probably over. I don't think any running back that they bring in there is going to change anything. And then tonight they're going into the Lions' den to face the Rams, who just acquired Von Miller from the Broncos. Could you imagine them licking their chops tonight, knowing they don't have to respect the run? They don't have to respect the run. So let me explain this. What happens now is that a lot of times when you have aggressive pass rushers like a Von Miller or Donald, who's sitting in the middle, and then Floyd on the other side, you can now rush as hard as you can, not having to worry about any draws. Now, I'm sure they'll still try to draw here and there to keep them honest, but they're not going to have to respect whoever's back there until he proves they need to respect him. So they're going to be coming full force tonight. One of the reasons I didn't start Tannehill in my league, although I look pretty stupid starting Jacoby Brissett, who sucked today. I mean, sucked is an understatement. So did Tyrod Taylor. Some people started him. Listen, bye weeks, right? Brady's on my bye. So I was like, what do I do? And I had a slew of guys I could have started on the waiver wire. And yeah, everyone talks about the Texans defense being so bad. They stepped up today. They had a few sacks. They had a couple picks, a couple fumble return. So did the Dolphins. That game was ugly. What an ugly game in Miami today. And yeah, Brissett got me just 10 points, so that sucks. So now I could just hope tonight that Tannehill does get destroyed and gets nothing. I mean, Tannehill might not even escape the first quarter with Donald and Von Miller coming down his throat like that. I mean, that didn't sound good, did that? Just isolate that one clip right after a sack. Ryan Tannehill is being sodomized on the football field. What's going on here? So, yeah, that should be a destruction. Unless Stafford wants to turn the ball over 5 times. I don't know. So I feel bad for the Titans. So we got a little bit of a shakeup today. Shakeup Sunday, or whatever clever term you want to call it. The Buffalo Bills go down to Urban Meyer and the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Lost 9-6. 9-6. Jaguars improved to 2-4. Bills struggling offensively suddenly. People have been talking about it. I asked about it today. I was like, what happened to this connection that we saw last year of Josh Allen to Diggs, Stephon Diggs? It was an incredible. Diggs had, what, 137 catches last year? I don't think he's on pace to have 100 right now. It's pretty bad. I mean, it'll adjust. Look, here's another thing. We talk about Mahomes and the Chiefs and their struggles. Well, other teams start to figure out other systems and what Josh Allen does. Of course, we know he likes to run a lot, but then, of course, he has his weapons downfield and Sanders and Diggs. And he's also without Knox, to be fair. And Knox started to become a big part of that offense before he got hurt. So, I don't know, when Dawson Knox comes back, let's see if that offense can regain some of its potential that it had. Because right now, it looks as bad as it could look. I mean, their running game, look, we know Moss and Singletary, they're just two guys. If you're talking about trading, they're just two guys, you know, two guys. I don't know, it just sounds like walking. Yeah. If there's a team that could really use a stud running back via trade, it's the Buffalo Bills. If somehow they could acquire somebody via trade, they would be the one. Imagine if the Bills had Zeke. How about the Cowboys lost today, by the way? How about the Cowboys lost? Oh my God. The Denver Broncos minus Von Miller go into Big D. Talk about Big D. The Cowboys took one right in the rectum. I mean, 30-0 at one point in the fourth quarter. Prescott cannot complete a pass in the first 3 quarters of this game. It was horrendous. I wasn't even watching. I'm following online because I'm always tracking every game as I go through my fantasy obsession. And it was bad. I mean, Denver, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater goes into your building. I mean, they ran the ball a lot. Okay, Williams and Gordon had good running games. Bridgewater did enough. And they just, I mean, they locked them up. When you talk about a lockup, I mean, Amari Cooper, almost nothing. CeeDee Lamb, almost nothing. Somebody I never heard of scored 2 garbage touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And for whatever reason, Dak Prescott was still in the game, down 30-0 after returning, by the way, from an injury. Not so wise to have him in the game that late, considering you're still in first place despite your loss. And now the Cowboys dropped to 6-2. But yeah, look, Vic Fangio, former Bears coordinator, hey, his defense, they show up to play. Not every time things are executed. Today, everything was executed perfectly. I mean, that was bad. So yeah, no one's going to lose sleep over the Cowboys. Wild game in Baltimore today. Overtime, Lamar Jackson finds a way to win these wild games for the most part, doesn't he? That game on Monday night against the Colts when they had the comeback, that went to overtime. I believe they also won the game. Yeah, the Justin Tucker kick, right, when they beat the Lions in Detroit. He set the record, 66 yards. The Ravens, fourth quarter kids, they just find a way. I was watching a little bit of this game, and listen, Lamar has his success, don't get me wrong. A lot of it is with his feet. Some of it is occasionally through the air. But I learned something today that I didn't know. He has more control behind center than you would think in terms of what the coaching staff allows him to do. When we talk about the RPO, he essentially can call anything he wants. He even calls situations where, what down is it? Oh, it's fourth down. Well, Lamar, what do you want to do? We're going to go for it. And it happened today, I swear to you. I couldn't believe it. The game was really close. They're down on a 2 or 1 yard line. Lamar looks over at Harbaugh, and Harbaugh, what do you want? Well, you know, we're going to go. And then they scored. They scored. And it's just funny to me that they have that much trust in Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You're just surprised to hear that. And hey, it worked today. But the thing about Lamar, when you watch him play, and I was listening to the commentators call the game, and they talk about how, well, Lamar, okay, well, when are you going to decide to give anyone else the ball? Because he likes to keep it himself a lot of the time. He takes it and he runs, and then other people just standing around watching. He's like the star basketball player. Everyone's watching him take all the shots. Because, he doesn't really, I don't want to say trust. Maybe he doesn't trust his own arm. I don't know. But he likes to run. That's for sure. And there are a couple times when you go, okay, well, our receiver's open on that play. Where is Mark Andrews open? Did Lamar, could he have thrown a football there instead of, now again, that's a tough read because you have to see the defense, and that's the hardest part of the RPO is making that decision. Are you going to hand it off there, or are you going to pull it back and run or throw yourself? And hey, I mean, if you're a Raven fan, you got to be happy with the way they're winning games. They're in all these games, and listen, the way the Chiefs are struggling, the way the Bills look like their offense is having problems, and no Derrick Henry. Why can't, you know, who knows where the Ravens can go this year? We don't know. Bengals back to earth. A lot can happen in this AFC. The Giants upset the Raiders. Giants fighting, still fighting hard. Listen, the Raiders, what a week they had. We talk about, you know, a couple weeks. In fact, we go back to Gruden and what happened there. And now Henry Ruggs, they travel east. And for people who want to say, oh, I predicted the Giants were going to win today. Listen. Go look at the history of this league. When you have a West Coast team coming east to play a 1 o'clock game, they lose a lot more than you think. All right, even a decent team like the Raiders are going to find a way to lose a game like that. And they did. They did. Shorthanded. I mean, look, Renfro's good. Jacobs is good. Waller is great. Giants, listen, give the Giants some credit. They took stuff away. McKinney had, a pick six in this game. Alabama, Roll Tide. And the Giants found a way to win this game. And listen, Booker's been great since they acquired him. Good job. I mean, who knows the future of Saquon Barkley, if there is one for him. Daniel Jones did enough, albeit, of course, typical fumble lost in the game. And, of course, Giant fans are now thinking parade, right? That's what they do. Parade. Giant fans are just as bad as Yankee fans, okay? And if you don't think you are, you fucking are, okay? You're just as bad. And here comes James Conner again. James Conner is having the game of his career. This is insane. I love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, it also helps that Chase Edmonds went down with an injury, so he's practically carrying every time and catching every time. And the Cardinals are just smashing the 49ers. Talk about a team with bad luck. 49ers lose almost every running back they put back there. And then, I mean, just... I know Samuel was questionable coming in, so he's hobbling around. Then the Cardinals don't have Hopkins or Murray. They go with Colt McCoy. I was thinking about Colt McCoy's history in this league. By the way, I also thought about his college career at Texas. If you remember, when the Alabama dynasty started back in, what was it, 7 or 8? Don't quote me on that. And I should know that, by the way. That's a bad job by me not knowing the first championship in Alabama under Nick Saban. And they played Texas in the championship game. Colt McCoy got hurt in the first quarter. Never played again. And Alabama won an ugly game. And Colt McCoy was projected to be a starter in this league. And, you know, for the most part, a backup. And right now he's 14 of 17. 215 yards. A touchdown, no picks. And Arizona's driving again in San Francisco territory. Up 24-7, early third. I mean, they're just putting it on the Niners. The Niner defense, oh my goodness. They have Bosa still. I just saw Josh Norman earlier getting into a fight with a Cardinal, then almost fighting his own teammate. Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But what a disaster, huh? I mean, this Niner team is being picked apart. I have a buddy of mine who's a Niners fan. He's in pain right now watching this. I know it. If he's still watching. I mean, look, I mean, the more you get older and you watch your team play and they just get mutilated every week, or, you know, they even give you a chance to think they're going to win. Why are you watching? People say, oh, root for the uniform. I don't care as much anymore. And there's a difference between being a bandwagon fan and a loyal fan versus knowing your GM sucks, your head coach sucks, and you don't like your players. I mean, you don't think they're winning players. It is what it is. You know, when you're younger, you don't know that stuff. You just don't, you don't look that stuff up as a kid unless you're more advanced. I mean, today technology is available to people to look stuff up like that, but so, yeah. And the Saints, no Jameis. Taysom Hill didn't start, so they went with Simeon, although they kind of split from time to time. But okay, listen to this. This was a bad job by me, and I may cost myself in fantasy this week. I don't know, still to be determined points wise. Matt Ryan has had mediocre games in the season. No Calvin Ridley. And on the road in New Orleans, the Saints have a really good defense. They can lock teams up. I mean, they gave Brady a battle, although Brady had a better second half than the first half. Still got his fantasy points. But, today Matt Ryan looked like the Matt Ryan that we saw winning champion, you know, going to the championship. Oh, no, the wrong guy carried the football. Oh, Connor, that's why I just got messed up there. Sorry, pardon my... I thought it was Connor again to score his fourth touchdown, but somebody named Benjamin just ran it in for the Cardinals. Now up 30-7. Jesus, bloodbath. Hey, Niners, you know what I say? Even a rape victim puts up a fight. Ugh. So what was I? Matt Ryan. Yeah, Matt Ryan made me look bad. And I will not bench him anymore this season. Although, of course, down the stretch, he'll cost me when I don't bench him. I believe if I make the Super Bowl, he plays in Buffalo, which will be a horrible condition day. And he'll get sacked 8 times, fumble 4, and I'll lose because I play him that day. But, yeah, bad job by me. NBA stuff, I haven't really... I know LeBron got hurt again, and I think he's up for an Oscar. Once again, no surprise. That's what he does. He gets hurt, and then he cries. I mean, look, he's up there. We know he's going to be 37 soon. Doesn't have a lot of time left. It's hard. The body can't sustain that. The grueling, you know, up and down, and not only that, just the workout to get into that shape. It's hard to sustain that. It is. And I'm not going to crap on the Lakers, but I don't know. I mean, the Knicks fans are funny. Knicks fans are just like Giants fans. I think they all root for the same team. The Knicks lose a game in Indiana. The fans go into witness protection again. Then they come back and they beat. Who did they just beat? I don't know. The Knicks just won a game and now they're back to the finals again. Yeah, they're going to the finals. Okay. Let's just do this week by week, shall we? Not game by game. Let's take their temperature first. Let's play 40. Let's play half a season before we start projecting where our teams are going to be. It's like people get on me about the Bulls and they say, oh, you're not a true Bulls fan. Oh, you're critical of this guy, critical of that guy. And I watched this team play. In the last week alone, the Bulls got manhandled by the Sixers. The Sixers, now, they're probably better off without Ben Simmons. However you want to read into that, he's still not playing. But Vucevic, again, I said it last week, I don't want to have to repeat it, but I will, is not a winning player, and he's never going to do anything against a guy like Joel Embiid. Embiid dominated both of these games. The Sixers won comfortably. I mean, the Bulls made it close, but the Sixers found a way to pull away because not only can you not believe in Vucevic, I talked about DeRozan's deficiency in the fourth quarter. He's not a winning player, another one. He'll get you to the playoffs. What he does there is a different story. Again, could he prove me wrong like Paul George? I've talked about this ad nauseum. Chris Middleton, they both proved me wrong last year. And I don't know. Listen, I'll hold out hope that this Bulls team can get better. I'll root, but I root in a different way. I root in a way where it's like, I don't want to get my expectations up so high because I don't want to be crushed when I see the issues with this team. And now they had played well in the early stages with good defense, but they weren't playing good teams. Now you get the Sixers. The Sixers have put, I believe, over 110 on them twice now. And they're about to go out west, where you know those teams are going to put up 115, 120, unless you're guarding hard. Guarding hard, they're going to get destroyed out west. And I don't believe, as it is what it is as a fan. Sorry. Oh, no, Jalen Hurts is... throw a touchdown pass to, you know what, Alabama to Alabama, Devonta Smith. But I am playing Jalen Hurts in fantasy, so I hope that doesn't hurt me that much. He always, Jalen Hurts is another fourth quarter comeback guy, just like Lamar Jackson. And I think, yeah, here it is. Like, when a team is up against Lamar and up against Jalen in the fourth, they go into that prevent, or, I mean, they definitely play a different defense, if not prevent. And it gives mediocre passers easier throws underneath, throws that are not available to them in the first 3.5 quarters of the game. Now they're getting, because everyone's guarding deep, everyone's protecting against the bomb, and now that 12 to 15 yard pass is available, and that's how a lot of these quarterbacks pad their stats and make these comebacks in that circumstance. But I mean, some throws, Hurts, Lamar Jackson, I talk about Justin Fields, he can't make. It's just certain throws certain quarterbacks can't make, and a lot of them are those quarterbacks that can also run. They're limited. Very limited. And I'm watching, like right now, the Chiefs up 13-0 against Jordan Love. Now, he's more pocket-oriented than he is a runner, and he's going to take his licks in this league. Listen, it's going to take him a while. If he's even that good, who knows? I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is laughing right now while watching because they drafted him so early. And now he knows his value is even higher now after seeing what Love is doing. 8 for 15, 103 yards. Mid-third quarter, down 13-0 to a Chiefs defense, which is one of the worst in the league. And he has everyone back, unlike Rodgers, who played without Davante Adams and Lazard last week. So, oh well. Where was I? Yes, I always go off on a tangent, don't I? I was talking about the Bulls, but I'll move on from that. Not much to say. Last night's UFC show was a really good card. I mean, look, the main event was closer than people thought it would be. Usman against Covington. Look, Usman lit him up in that second round. He had him beat. I think obviously the end of the round saved him. I don't know if Covington gets out of that round, if there's another 30 seconds left. He was in a position where he was just down, covering up. Good job by the ref not stopping it either. I was yelling, don't stop this, because he's not down. I do that a lot for everyone, even if I don't root for a guy. Covington, typical MAGA piece of shit. But, you know, I mean, look, he was humbled in this fight. He also showed a human side to him after the fight by, if not burying the hatchet, at least showing respect. And Usman gave that respect back to him. It was a good battle. I mean, Covington... You can argue Covington won the last three rounds, but the judges didn't see it that way. So Usman won 48, 47, 48, 47, 49, 46. I don't know if they gave him a 10-8 round in that second round, which I have to go find out. I didn't see the scorecard. So if Usman won the 10-8, because I thought it could have been a draw. My thought was if Usman lost 3-2 round-wise, but then won the second 10-8, then it's a draw. So it wasn't even close. The judges didn't see it the way I did. Perhaps I'm just wrong in terms of... Because Covington landed a lot of good shots in those last couple rounds. And Usman was in trouble. Usman even went down. And then there was the big debate whether or not Usman actually was taken down for the first time in his career. Daniel Cormier vehemently disagreeing with the truck, who said he's still 100% takedown. And he said, that's a takedown. If your knees go down, it's a takedown. That was pretty entertaining. Listen, throw politics out the window. Rogan is a great listen. I love listening to Rogan when he calls these fights. Rogan's the best, and Cormier is just as good. The other guy that's just as good on their level is Cruz. I love listening to Cruz. He's extremely educated in terms of how he tells you what's going on and how guys should adjust. But yeah, great listen last night. And overall, it was a good card. That first fight, holy shit, with those guys. Michael Chandler and Gaethje banging in a phone booth. I mean, even the next fight, too. Those guys just, like, I don't know how Michael Chandler was still standing. That was, I mean, a credit to him. And people love to talk about, oh, the Bellator fighter, they can't compete with the UFC guys. Well, he came in and he showed. It doesn't matter. I mean, look, he's lost. Don't get me wrong. He's lost in the UFC. But the point is, that was a war. That was a war. Damn, Chandler. And Gaethje's a beast, man. Gaethje's so good. So, that's that. Gonna talk a little wrestling, not a lot. I'm kind of going off the top with the wrestling because I really haven't been watching every show. So we'll talk briefly about that. You're listening to Morton's Law Podcast, coming back after this. Welcome back to this final segment of Morton's Law Podcast. I'm your host. Please check me out on Twitter at Morton's_Law and Morton's Law Podcast on Instagram and YouTube. Big news in the world of wrestling as it happened again. It's happened on two separate occasions. Normally, it just happens post-WrestleMania. WWE releases a handful of people. Sometimes, 10 to 12. But this past week, they released another batch, and now we're in the 70s of those released. They're trimming the fat. I don't know if they're looking to sell. I don't know what the deal is. They made money in this quarter, and in every quarter, they're making an exorbitant amount of money, so they're not losing money, and they're still getting rid of people, and everyone is just like, what? Now, I look at it differently. A lot of people look at it and go, now, don't get me wrong, this has affected a few people. I know there's this one wrestler who's from another country, and she was just released. She's 21. I forget her name. I apologize for not knowing the name. But she was released. I want to say she's NXT. And she was released, and now she's talking about not having the visa long enough, and she doesn't know where she's going to go. So I don't know what happens to her, and that's horrible. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound callous and say, oh, well, everyone released is going to find work and no problem. I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, listen, a lot of people, especially the bigger names, are going to find work with no problem. And a lot of times they're going to be happier and they're going to be better off in their career getting out of that toxic environment that so many people talk about and how horrible it is to work there and be associated with certain individuals that will tell you your future endeavor, of course. And more on that in a second. But when we talk about the names that were released, I'm not going to go through the list, but Keith Lee, for starters, just everyone's like, what? There was a joke on Twitter about all the things that they've asked him to do, all the things he went back and did everything they wanted him to do, and then they just let him go also. And look, he's going to land wherever he lands, and he's going to, of course, forget about everything he learned in terms of working like a big man, because he wants to work his style. They asked him to work like a big man. He learned. They gave him a nickname. They had him lose a little bit of weight, I believe. And, Keith Lee's going to be successful wherever he goes. People love him. He's going to get a great ovation. So it was sad. So Scarlett Bordeaux gets released. We had wondered why she wasn't even on TV with her husband, Karrion Kross. That made no sense. They also showed him the door. And, I mean, he's definitely better off getting out of there considering all the stupid things they've done to him since he went to the main roster. I mean, it's just incredible that what has happened to him because they don't understand what makes a star and how to relate with the audience. And, look, I defend Vince in certain aspects. I mean, look, Keith Lee, when you go back to him for a second and you say, all right, well, Vince was accustomed to how big guys work for a lot of years. And what draws money? And I've talked about this. I'm not going to go down the whole list of it again. But does the casual fan care about a 300-pound guy doing a couple athletic moves? I mean, and that's another thing. When they get overused, do people care anymore? Because they've seen it already. Like, when you talk about Keith Lee in certain matches and he shows too much. Like, okay, let's hold off on that. Let's do that in a big match. Let's see the amazing athletic ability you have in bigger matches instead of giving it away all the time, is it doesn't mean as much. And you could say the same thing about other big men who do the same style, even junior heavyweights who do that. It just becomes, okay, well, I've seen it already. Not a big deal. But I think specifically Lee and Cross will find greener pastures, whether it's AEW, Impact, MLW, they could go to Japan. There's a lot of locations and areas for them to work. I mean, that's for sure. And some of these other names here, some NXT. Look, I was surprised about Frankie Monet because I thought, no, let's call her Taya Valkyrie, which is her name everyone really knows the most. And she's a great worker. I don't know why she didn't work there in terms of why they didn't like her, what the reasoning. I mean, they talk about budget cuts, okay? Listen, there's a thing about budget cuts and the BS reasons they give for it. But then if you say, well, this person can make me money, you're not going to get rid of them. So in my opinion, I don't know this for fact. I'm going to find out more as news breaks throughout the week. Hopefully I'll have more for you next week on this. But if you look at certain people and you go, well, they're not going to make me any money. Well, then they're expendable, right? They become expendable. And that's what happened to her. That's what happened to a lot of other NXT names that I have here. I mean, Eva Marie got the can. I mean, she had just recently returned, right, within the last year or so after a long hiatus. And Ember Moon finally gone. I shouldn't say finally, not that I wanted her gone, but I'm saying she was one that left for a while, came back to NXT, and now is gone again. So it's just, you know. And by the way, in terms of, like, we talk about couples, how Karrion Kross is gone with Scarlett. Mia Yim, who is now, I believe, married, if not engaged to Keith Lee, they're gone together. And I don't know if there was another couple that was released together, but I'm looking at the list here. And then everyone talks about B-Fab, part of Hit Row, who had just got promoted to, I believe, SmackDown. And people just shake their head. So, yeah, it's sad to certain aspects when you think about some of these younger people here. Oh, the name, by the way, Katrina Cortez, is a 20-year-old. I believe she's from South America. And she was devastated. And you know, she's one of the few who are going to have that issue in terms of staying in this country. So, yes. But moving along. Didn't watch a lot this week. I didn't. I did watch most of Dynamite. And I'm still, at the moment, watching Rampage. So, I'm not even finished with that. But, I mean, obviously, Full Gear is shaping up. The card is pretty much almost set in stone. A lot of people are joking about the fact that the card had leaked earlier. And now it looks like it's going to be almost the same card. We're going to get now, of course, what happened to Jon Moxley. I actually forgot about that, honestly. That's pretty... Listen, we all have our issues. We all have our demons. I talk about mental illness. Jon Moxley has alcohol. So let's hope for the best for him. And it's a tough thing to admit. So him having to check himself into rehab, it's good for him, obviously. And AEW did a great job in supporting him. The fans were great with the signs, and everybody spoke out about it. CM Punk spoke out about it. And let's hope for the best recovery for Jon Moxley. I mean, hard to say a bad word about that situation, that's for sure. But with that came an opportunity for Miro. And... All right, let me get into this for a second. This is one thing I forgot, but I just remembered. Here's what didn't make sense in terms of their writing and how they put stuff together. So CM Punk cuts a promo talking about how he could have been the guy to enter the tournament and go against Orange Cassidy. Instead, because of what Eddie Kingston did by interrupting his interview and essentially calling him out in so many ways, now he is going to want to have an issue with, well, I would take a face-to-face at that moment with Eddie Kingston. So now he and the fans lose out on him wrestling Orange Cassidy and possibly Daniel Bryan for the number one contender. And that's just a crock of shit. Like, what? Why are you telling the fans that? First of all, you could hear the fans like going, oh, really? Why even tell us that? Like, we didn't know Punk could have been in the tournament. Who wouldn't want to see Punk in the tournament? But now because of Eddie Kingston? So that's poor writing, in my opinion. Poor booking, or whatever you want to call it. It's just like, why even tell us that? So we get Miro, who almost squashed Orange Cassidy, which is well booked, by the way. Because listen, if you're gonna put Miro in a ring with Bryan Danielson, I hate that I made that mistake because I've known him for so many years on the independent scene as the American Dragon, and I just made that mistake that I would crucify others for making, and I just made it. So, yes, okay, so. Bryan Danielson, if you're going to put Miro in a ring with Bryan Danielson, you have to make him look indestructible. And Orange Cassidy got little offense, rightfully so, because he's Orange Cassidy, and he's a gimmick. He shouldn't be in that picture anyway, in my opinion. But so Miro will now get that match. Look, Bryan Danielson is going to carry anybody to a decent match, so I don't think it'll be bad. I'm just not sure. I want to believe... I mean, I would be shocked if Danielson didn't win, but they could always throw a little curveball at us. But no, he's going to win. And then we get that face-off with Punk and Kingston. And look, the face-off was good stuff because there was a little bit of, I'm sure they talked about what they were going to say. Who knows how much of that is true in terms of Kingston being looked at as a potential future guy in the business back in 2007. And then basically he didn't live up to his potential because they basically thought he was lazy. And look, when you look at Eddie Kingston's career, and a lot of people said, well, Eddie Kingston was basically an independent guy for the majority of his career until Impact Wrestling took him on a couple years ago. And then, of course, after Impact, he landed with AEW. But I couldn't even tell you offhand if he ever even received a tryout for WWE or NXT for that matter. I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe there's a stigma behind Eddie Kingston in terms of other people, what they think of him. I don't know if it started there. Punk mentioned Bryan Danielson. He mentioned Samoa Joe, which got a pop. He talked about, of course, we're talking about Ring of Honor here, 2007. And that was some good back and forth. There was some good stuff. The two of them looked really heated at each other. It was great work in terms of the pull apart. It was one of the better brawls you see. Unlike a lot of their brawls, by the way, looked so fake. Like that brawl that they had on, I think it was Dynamite, involving the Jurassic Express and Christian with the super click, if you will. Aside from the concerto, which was cool because Adam Cole took that. First of all, if you're in a brawl, right? Okay, here's where I'm having fun with this. And this happens all the time in this company. Six guys are having a brawl. Okay, well, five at the moment because we didn't see Jungle Boy. Five are brawling. And then out of nowhere, Jungle Boy comes flying into the pitcher and does a somersault flip, knocking somebody down. You ever see that in a fight? You ever see that in a street fight? Yeah, I'm going to somersault and knock you down. Instead of coming in with fists flying and heated and just kicking and punching. He did a somersault. Okay. But... So that's gonna be that match at Full Gear, the Super Click, and then we're getting. I could care less. You can't pay me to care about this whole Inner Circle and America Top Team crap. Aside from the little segment back and forth with Jericho and Paige Van Zandt, which I think became the most Googled person on the internet after Jericho mentioned about her OnlyFans account. That was funny. And then she said she could take on all five guys, which Jericho had a great line saying, sometimes the joke writes itself. That was great. I give him credit. Look, Jericho's turned out to be a psycho trumper, but he's still funny sometimes. Now, Max Caster. Max Caster. Someone told me about SmackDown. I didn't watch it. And a buddy of mine who listens to the show talked about Roman Reigns, who hadn't been on SmackDown in a week. He wasn't there at all the prior week. He comes back and apparently said the following. He says, I'm back here on SmackDown. I was gone a week and I could tell it was almost as bad as Raw. That's a great line. I mean, the fact that they even let him say it is funny. But look, in theory, you could say they're competitive against Raw, even though they're the same company. But that's how you could say. I don't know. But it's still funny. But for those who didn't watch Max Caster, you would think Roman Reigns had the line of the week, but he didn't. Max Caster, listen, he's had his issues, of course, with the whole Duke stuff and the things he said, and then it's coming up flat on his first pay-per-view, butchering his lines and kind of losing his aura for me anyway for that time frame. Completely redeemed himself at the beginning of Rampage. So out comes Bowens to wrestle Danielson, and Caster is on the mic and he does as usual. And he has a couple funny lines, talks about Bryan Danielson and being in, talking about he's only in this position because his wife's reality show or something like that. I forget the exact line, I should have written it down, pardon me. But the best line, oh my God, he had a couple. The best line was referencing his father-in-law, for those who do not know, John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, whatever you want to call him, is married to his wife's mother. If for those who watch the reality show, again, you wouldn't know this. But the fact that he talked about burying or the future endeavor, the whole nine in terms of ending careers, that's what John Laurinaitis does. So that was fun. So yeah, that happened. So Max Caster. When you looked at Bryan Danielson's face, he looked like he was amused by it. Like, he wasn't annoyed. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that cares. For those who don't know, he's all about zero fucks given. So I'm sure he just went, whatever. Have fun with me. I don't care. But, I didn't watch. I should have watched. I need to go back and watch NXT because I want to see how they're doing in terms of rebuilding Bron Breakker following his odd loss to Tommaso Ciampa. When I say odd in terms of how they beat him, not that he lost. But, I mean, yeah, we'll see what they do with that. And look, Full Gear, Hangman has to win. Has to win. I said that last week. He has to beat Omega. And we'll see what else they do with that. But yeah, maybe I'll get into more wrestling as we go, and I'll give more reviews of shows and my opinions on other topics of which I don't have in front of me. So that's going to wrap up another edition of Morton's Law Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the misery that is my life, my sports talk, a little wrestling. I'll be back next Sunday, most likely. I think I'm pretty much snapped out of my depression. And we'll talk more next week. So I hope everybody has a nice week. Take care, and God bless gay sex.